Are you going to tell us who you work for?
I was always very interested to meet you. I heard so much about you from Vesna. But the real shame is that if she hadn't killed herself, we would have had you too. I think you would have done anything for her.
I know you're not in Britain, and God knows where you'll be tomorrow. Which should tell you that eventually you will tell us about people you work with. And the longer it takes, the more painful we'll make it.
You really don't know anything about us. It's so amusing because we are on the other side thinking, oh, the MI6, the CIA, they're looking over our shoulders, they're listening to our conversations, and the truth is you don't even know we exist.
Well, you know, Mr. Biden, and we're quick learners.
The first thing you should know about us is that we have people everywhere. Am I right?
Security check and light test every year. Didn't need so much as a scrap of paper to explain any of it. 8 years, 5 as my personal bodyguard. I found this and 3 other bloody Christmas presents I've been about the house.
I don't think you spoke.
And you had to kill him. You couldn't bring him in questioning so that we might actually learn something. When someone said we've got people everywhere, we'd be stupid hyperbole. Not only was saying that, Florence used that expression. It doesn't mean that they've got somebody working for them inside a bloody room. The hell is this organization, Bond? How can they be everywhere and we know nothing about them? I see you found no trace of White.
No. The agent got him to go into character's dead before you passed him on the stairs.
I passed him on the stairs? Christ.
Mitchell must have killed him when he went out to check the perimeter. You're lucky to be here.
Do you think White's still?
Yeah, you're looking over everybody's shoulder. Everybody's shoulder. You don't know who we are or where we're at. We're everywhere. Well, you know where I'm at. But that's about it. That's about it. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network. PO Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And it is June the 18th, 2014, Photons Day. David Lane's favorite day. How about that? Beautiful day again here in the heartland. I was expecting some rain, but it didn't come through. A lot of wind, but no rain. So anyhow, we got things all fixed up here and ready to go. And I see ISIS has got to... They zeroed in on the biggest gasoline cracking plant in Iran. And you know what I think? I think they're going to blow it sky high. Yeah, I think they're going to do that. In fact, maybe they've even done it by now. A lot of things happened could have happened overnight, which would be over day over there. Yeah, I can't wait till they get to that billion-dollar monstrosity, the occupation center, the green zone there in Baghdad. I hope they take it apart brick by brick, just to show the American corporations and the military-industrial complex that they're not in control. They think they're in control, but they're not in control. So now Washington doesn't know whether to crap or go blind. They're pushing Obama. Well, he doesn't have to do whatever anybody wants him to do, unless he's afraid of being taken care of in other ways. Yeah, he can say, screw it. It's too bad he sent 200 and some Marines over there already. That's... It's not a good sign, and they start that drone stuff. Well, those ISIS guys just need some of those shoulder-fired missiles, heat-seeking missiles. There's still thousands of them all, all over the Middle East and the Third World. The Russians put them over there during the Cold War like candy, and they still work. They still work. I was thinking the other day, and sometimes I think a little weird. I'm thinking, a pimple is corruption. The pus is the war. What do you think of that? Yeah, the pimple is the corruption, and you know it's coming to a head, and you pop it, and it's the war. Yeah, I see the sports nuts are going gaga over this football down in South America and getting all excited because the American team won a little bit. Well, hell, I don't think that, at least half of that team is not white. That don't make any difference to these people, as long as they got that federal red, white, and blue flag. Yeah, Americans. Hey, I'm glad I'm not an American. Yeah. Let's look a little bit here at the Wall Street Journal today. More expatriate Americans break up with Uncle Sam. Wow. Now, who would want to do that? To be that unpatriotic to the federal system of the United States. Patricia Moon was born in Dayton, Ohio, to a family descended from the Quakers who settled in New World before the American Revolution. As a young woman, Ms. Moon fell for a Canadian man and moved to Toronto. The 59-year-old homemaker, who still visits the U.S. to see relatives, said she feels American in her bones even after 3 decades abroad. Yet despite her deep roots, Ms. Moon walked into the U.S. consulate 2 years ago, raised her right hand, and recited an oath renouncing her U.S. citizenship. Afterwards, she said, "I bawled my eyes out." Ms. Moon is among record numbers of Americans cutting ties. U.S. offices abroad reported that 1,101 U.S. citizens and green card holders had renounced their allegiance in the first 3 months of this year, according to Andrew Mitchell, a lawyer in Centerbrook, Connecticut, who analyzes Treasury Department data. There you go. Follow the money. That figure puts 2014 on track to top last year's total of 2,999 renunciations, he said, which was the most since the government began disclosing the data. They're embarrassed. Helping to boost the exodus, experts say, is a 5-year-old U.S. campaign to hunt for undeclared accounts held by Americans abroad. Yeah, people trying to get their money out of here before the government gets it all. Or the Negroes or whoever's got their hand out. Helping boost the exodus, experts say, is a 5-year-old U.S. campaign to hunt for undeclared accounts held by Americans abroad. Follow the money. Since 2009, the government campaign has collected more than $6 billion in taxes, interest, and penalties from more than 43,000 U.S. taxpayers. Federal prosecutors have filed more than 100 criminal indictments, including the high-profile case of Beanie Babies inventor Ty Warner, who last year pleaded guilty to tax evasion involving secret Swiss bank accounts. The tax dragnet has also swept up many middle-income Americans living abroad, prompting some to give up their citizenship. While people who are, I got to go to another page. Well, this article goes on for another 2/3 of a page, but it's basically trying to point out it's all about people trying to escape paying taxes. Well, I don't have a quarrel with that, but I don't see anything in the article, which I haven't read the whole article, that a lot of people are leaving the country. They just don't like the way the country is running. They don't like the political party set up. They don't like the military-industrial complex invading and occupying countries all over the world. They don't like the environmental destruction that's going on in North America. There's a lot of other reasons besides just trying to save some of your money from the tax man, as the Beatles say, the tax man. Oh, yeah. Remember what I told you about the Zimmer artificial limb company, the biggest in the world, buying Medtronic? Oh, and I told you that it's very likely, and I even wrote a letter to the newspaper, that they'll be bailing one of these days. Well, it's happened real quick. Listen to this from the Wall Street Journal. What kind of country does this to itself? With Medtronic planning acquisition of Covidine, another company, and the announcement that the combined company will be domiciled in Ireland, U.S. tax policy has encouraged one more business to spend its money overseas. Medtronic, famous for its high-tech cardiac and spinal devices, will pay $42.9 billion for Dublin-based Covidine, which makes surgical tools and other medical supplies. Medtronic is making a business case for the deal, promising to find at least $850 million in annual cost savings by 2018. Some analysts see a combined company have more leverage when negotiating with consolidating hospital and physician groups. Medtronic adds that its technology, when combined with Covidine's overseas manufacturing, research, and development assets, will give the combined firm an edge in emerging markets. Such markets also don't have the 3.8% Obama tax on medical devices. Interesting, huh? I sent off a letter to the local paper here. I'll read it to you. Well, 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 dear editor, tax slaves, surprise, or is it? Quoting from the Wall Street Journal. Well, what kind of country does this to itself? With the Medtronic's planned acquisition of Covidine and the announcement that the combined company will be domiciled in Ireland, this is right out of the Wall Street Journal, of course, U.S. tax policy has encouraged one more business to spend its money overseas. Oh, you poor corporations. Oh, my. Corporate taxes. How unfair. Medtronic, famous for its high-tech cardiac and spinal devices, will pay $42.9 billion for Dublin-based Covidine, which makes surgical tools and other medical supplies. Of course, they're moving over there because the weather's nice. Medtronic is making a business case for the deal, promising to find at least $850 million in annual cost savings by 2018, mostly on labor. That's my comment. Some analysts see a combined company that will have more leverage to defend prices when negotiating with consolidating hospital and physicians groups. Medtronic adds that its technology will be combined with Covidine's overseas manufacturing. Research and development assets will give the combined firm the edge in emerging markets that doesn't have the 3.8% national health care tax on medical devices. Ah, sob, sob. Well, well, will Zimmer be far behind? That's the big corporation. Yeah. Wait a minute here. I gotta get this down here where I can write the damn thing. We know that some of their operation, that Zimmer's operation, already has been moved, I think, to Scotland. You mean to tell me that all that money from the profits of fitting maimed soldiers is now going to go bye-bye? Run down to the library and you can read the rest of this gobbledygook in the Wall Street Journal of the 27th. It's amusing that the Wall Street Journal tries to blame that 3.8% tax for Medtronic's bailing out. Sounds like somebody's being screwed, or is it just the town of Warsaw? Anyhow, that's my little letter there. Well, I see the Washington Redskins are going to lose their trademark.
Redskins, man.
With the big Indian head on there. Great. Anything nasty that happens to the nigger ball is fine with me. In fact, it's going to piss off a hell of a lot of white working people, the sports enthusiasts, and probably a whole lot of black ones, too. So, actually, in the long run, this is good for our side. Anytime there's anything like that that these non-whites can get a hold of, let them run with it. It just pisses off more whites. Suppose you saw that the Israeli Jews are jacking up the whole Palestinian nation over the disappearance of 3 teenage Jews. Gee whiz. Man, that's unbelievable. Now, how do you know they didn't just go AWOL or just take off to Europe or come back to the United States or something? It's unbelievable what these damn Jews in Israel get away with. They're jacking the whole damn Palestinian government up. That's good. That's gonna make you even more liked, Mr. Chu. Well, I got an email here from one of the Canadian boys up there. I haven't heard from him in a long time, and he's going into all this Jewish activity and all that kind of stuff. And what caught my eye was, he said, another person that you may wish to research is the ADL super spy, Roy Bullock. Why is it that the late Pastor Earl Jones of Deming, New Mexico, related that the ADL had a paucity for information on him when the ADL was required to contact those persons that they had spied upon as a result of the lawsuit pertaining to the ADL spy scandal? Well, I got news for you, buddy. We exposed him long before that spy scandal. Interestingly enough, you had the Arabs in on it. You had Congressman Pete McCloskey in on it, and some other people. And the ADL did most of their spying on my operation in San Francisco. And those people refused to have me join into the lawsuit against the ADL. These are the little things you probably never heard of or don't know about. But we had already exposed Roy Bullock long before that. And I know also the Willis Cardo's bunch had the information on him, too. So, you know, typical right wing, they're always a day late and a dollar short. Well, Papa's coming to town. Will Pope Francis visit the U.S. wall against invaders from Mexico and Central America? Reports in the Mexican press say that Francis is weighing a visit to the steel fence the U.S. erected along the Arizona border to keep out invaders and drug smugglers, an event that would be reminiscent of his stop last month at the security wall that Israel built to separate it from its Palestinian territories. U.S. Catholic leaders celebrated mass at the border in Nogales in April on behalf of immigration or invader reform. The Pope's visit would come during his expected September 2015 trip to the U.S. Boy, here we go again. Remember Fulton Sheen? Colonel Fulton Sheen used to be on TV all the time during the, I think, 50s, 60s, and 70s. He was on a long time. Did Fulton Sheen resurrect a dead baby? A panel of experts at the Vatican has said that a baby born dead and brought back to life after 61 minutes, and after prayers to the late Archbishop Fulton Sheen to intercede with God, could be a legitimate miracle that might pave the road to Sheen's beatification. Well, I would have suggested leave the date, baby, be dead for another hour or so before you perform a miracle, and see how much more miracle you get. And this one's from the Who Knew Division. So Yiddish can cause a mistrial. Who knew? Defense attorneys for New York State Senator Malcolm Smith, who was accused of trying to buy his way into the 2013 Republican mayoral ticket for New York City, that's who, apart from why anyone would want to be on that ticket, there was the issue of dozens of hours of secret recordings by a government witness in Yiddish. The judge couldn't wait for them to be translated to see if there was an incriminating or exculpatory evidence. So he declared it a mistrial. You know, the Presbyterian Church is voting on the divestment of Israel. But guess who got his nose into it? David Duke. David Duke is supporting the Presbyterians. I'm sure they're thrilled. Remember Bill Cosby? Mr. Wonderful Black Man, Family Man, all that. He had that family show, Blacks, in the 80s and 90s, I guess it was. Mr. Clean. He had his girlfriend on his side, and listen to what she talks about or what they say about her.
Called drunken acting scene. I was assaulted a number of times from 18 to 19. Cosby would warn me before out-of-town trips, "You aren't going to fight me this time, are you?" Once we flew to Reno, he flew me out for a celebrity ski classic. Got me a hotel room, fed me a lot of alcohol, then pinned me down in his suite on the couch and made me masturbate him.
Well,
he really intimidated me and I panicked. From then on, I would be praying and begging to God that it was in my
imagination. Why did she keep going back with him?
She thought this was the way you did it.
Well, you know.
This is another one, maybe the same one. The first time I was drugged for sure was in New York when he invited me to dinner to his apartment. There was a chef, a butler, we had dinner, I had a glass of wine, and I blacked out. I woke up throwing up in the toilet. He was standing over me, pulling my hair out of my face. I was wearing a t-shirt that wasn't mine. He was in a robe. I think the final time I was assaulted was in Atlantic City. He took me there for a show, got me very drunk. Later, the hotel lost my luggage. I was on the phone with the concierge, and Bill had a fit that I was on the telephone and went ballistic. Next morning, he summoned me to his room and started berating me and calling me names, telling me I had embarrassed him. He threw me under the bed, blocked me with his elbow, and got on top of me and started taking my pants off. I was screaming and crying and begging to leave the room. Leave me alone, I shouted. And I fought really hard, and I screamed so loud that he got mad and threw me aside and got away from me. That was it. He ditched me, dropped me like a hot potato. My agent dumped me also. I was thrown out of my housing. They pulled the plug on me. So she was banging him, and he was giving her stuff.
Yeah,
this one right here. So that's a tough one right there. That's a tough one, too.
Yeah, but they're all, you know, the main thing is that they keep talking about, you know, he's drugging them, you know, so that seems to be the one consistent part of this.
Well, story. You know, I...
And didn't we talked about that yesterday, about what with these guys that they want to have sex with women that are knocked out? What is that about?
Garrett? In the gay world, are men so willing that they don't do the knockout drugs?
No, God.
There you go. There's your wonderful, wholesome, 100% American black Bill Cosby. Yeah, and did you see this on TV? Did you read this in your paper? Yeah. They got some money, they get out of it all the time. They get out. I bet she was white, too, and she was underage. I see the usual suspects are all pissed off at Delta Airlines, and as usual, stomped the ground and whined until Delta Airlines apologized for a very simple sort of funny thing about the fight between the United States football team and the great, wonderful Black Ghanaian team. And they made a little joke about the sun's coming up on the Statue of Liberty and going down behind a giraffe. which is really nothing. So guess what? Guess what I did? Just a minute here. What did I do with it? Wait a minute. So I put a comment on there. I feel sorry for people who apologize every time someone gets their panties in a twist. I say, up yours. Yeah. Well, now the Border Patrol's in trouble. I'll tell you something else. As U.S. Border Patrol agents deal with a crisis involving thousands of swarms of non-white invaders crossing into the country, the union representing them is defending an insulting, mocking tweet. The tweet sent Saturday morning by the National Border Patrol Consul at BP Union and soon deleted complained about the responsibilities that the Border Patrol agents have undertaken with the surge of these invaders, these baby invaders, including babysitting, diaper changing, and burrito wrapping. There you go. So they're apologizing too. Everybody apologizes, but old terrible Tommy. I don't apologize for nothing. Sharon Terabasi was living the dream. She won the $10.5 million lottery in her home country of Canada, earning her a consistent residence on Cloud 9. All the things that she'd always wanted were wide open to her. Expensive cars, fancy houses, designer clothes, expensive vacations. Her financial freedom was right in front of her eyes, and it was time to live the lifestyle she'd always deserved. But years later, Sharon rides the bus to work. When she doesn't feel like riding the bus, she rides her bike. She's not doing it for exercise. Instead, it's because she can't afford to fix the car that sits in the family driveway. All the relatives who were quick to borrow money from her when she won the lottery are nowhere to be found. She's now finding herself getting reaccustomed to the lifestyle of which she's become accustomed for so many years. The fall has not been easy. I feel bad for Sharon the same way I feel bad for every NBA and NFL athlete who goes through the same experience. They say that it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. But this isn't true when it comes to money. It's usually better to have never had money in the first place than to have it and see it all slip through your fingers, man. As a finance professor, this guy says, I think about money a lot. Also, my grandmother, who was my first finance professor with no college degree, taught me a few things about money that I hold onto to this day. In spite of being a single mother who never made more than $25,000 per year, my grandmother always had money, maintained perfect credit, and never had to borrow a dime from anyone. Here are a few things that my grandmother taught me and were later confirmed when I got my PhD. I'll send this article out to you, but the difference between, I believe, this grandmother, either she was an old-time black grandmother or she's white. But the girl who lost the $10 million, you guessed it, he black as the ace of spades, and all her relatives borrowed money and took off. Well, if you're thinking about financing your mom and pop into the nursing home, you better think it over pretty good. You better be prepared to work your ass off. It now costs over $80,000 to live in a nursing home, to a new average of $83,950, a big increase from 5 years ago when the average cost was $67,527, according to a new cost of care survey by Genworth. The survey shows that in the last years alone, the cost of care providers has skyrocketed. Well, doctors in Brooklyn, New York are concerned that there is a new generation of young black boys in the city that may be the source of public health crisis of massive proportions. Experts in the city claim that since 2001, the number of HIV cases for men under 30 has risen from 232 to 491, man. There must be a lot of those foreign Negroes coming in from the Caribbean, North Africa, too. Well, this is interesting. If you follow tech, and you're familiar with the parade of pictures tech companies post online. Most are snapshots of a new product, service, or just a fun Instagram of the company's team. And by team, I mean young, enthusiastic white men. It's not the tech companies. It's not that they don't hire minorities. They do. The occasional Indian American or Asian American shows up in most team pictures. But where are the black people? That's one of the questions CNN Money is asking after a probe of 20 of the most influential tech companies in America. A probe of companies including such high-profile names as Apple, Google, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, and Microsoft seemingly sought to actively conceal their diversity numbers from CNN. The only diversity data provided was from five companies: Cisco, Dell, eBay, Ingram Micro, and Intel. CNN still found that minorities and women were underrepresented in the management roles at tech companies. Quote, our investigation demonstrated how difficult and sometimes impossible gaining any insight into Silicon Valley's employee diversity can be. CNN's Julian Pepitone writes, quote, it shows a lack of transparency in an industry known for its openness. There is only an incentive to provide diversity data if you're proud of your diversity record. CNN even reached out to the Equal Opportunity Commission to help in forcing the tech companies to come forward, but quickly learned this was a dead end since only private companies, the EEOC oversees, are federal contractors. In the end, most of the tech companies keep their data private, and that was probably for a good reason. Well, you see, there's hope for you white boys out there. There's some people up there pulling for you. Yeah. They don't want to bring in these dumb black guys, you know. So don't give up looking for a job with a tech company. Yeah, there was this deal about the Redskins and their logo or trademark being dropped. So I replied to one of these comment lines. I said, you know, that always offended me too. I like Wagon Burner much better. And this, direct from Crooks and Liars. Oh, the irony of Dick and Liz Cheney slamming Obama for the current issues in Iraq, as if they had nothing to do with it. So this happened. Rarely has a U.S. president been so wrong about so much at the expense of so many. Too many times to count, Mr. Obama has told us he's ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as though wishing made it so. His rhetoric has now come crashing into reality, watching the black-clad ISIS jihadists take territory once secured by American blood. His final proof, if any were reached, that America's enemies are not decimated, they are emboldened and on the march. Quit laughing. I realize these facts don't matter to the evil ghouls like Cheney, but credit for the rise of ISIS can be laid out on his doorstep. Iraq provides terrorists with a training ground, a recruitment ground, the opportunity for enhancing technical skills, said David B. Lowe, the National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. Well, there's even under the best scenario over time, the likelihood that some of these jihadists who are not killed there will be, in a sense, go home, wherever home is, and will therefore disperse to various other countries, unquote. Lowe's comments came during a rare briefing by the Council on its new report on long-term global trends. It took a year to produce and includes the analysis of 1,000 U.S. foreign experts. within the 119-page report is an evaluation of Iraq's new role as a breeding ground for Islamic terrorists. Well, maybe that's because they live there. And that before al-Maliki took the reins and shut out the Sunnis entirely from any participation or voice in government. Satirist Andy Borowitz has the required antidote to a dose of Cheneyisms. Former Vice President Dick Cheney broke his silence about the crisis in Iraq today, telling reporters, "My thoughts and prayers are with the Iraqi oil wells." Speaking from his Wyoming ranch, Cheney said that he had planned to remain quiet about the current state of affairs in Iraq, but thinking about those oil wells has kept me up all night. "If Dick Cheney won't speak for the Iraqi oil wells, who will?" he said. "Not a soul, little man. Not a soul." Pretty good. I like that. I can't believe it. Glenn Pecker is going to tell the truth once about that the progressives were really right about the Iraq War.
I want to start in a different place. The media keeps telling us that we're a nation that is, being torn apart at the seams, and in some ways, I agree with them, only because we're not looking for the things that bring us together. The left and the right, we can't agree on anything, right? The only place we can find common ground is in the hatred of one another. That's the narrative that everybody is giving you, and unfortunately, there is some truth to that. Unless we decide to look for more. We have been greatly divided. When the president burst out on the scene, he talked about how George Bush had torn us apart with two wars that nobody wanted, and we had an economic disaster. And a lot of people said, you know what, he's right. We have been torn apart, and we were a mess. We really, truly were a mess in 2008. I don't think it has gotten any better. For the last 5 years, we have done nothing but watch our country and our families, really our friends, be ripped apart. We are deeper in debt. We're immersed in the foreign wars. Our economy is much more fragile than it was in 2008. Racial tensions are higher than I've ever seen them. I'm 50 years old. I don't remember an America that felt like this race-wise. We are far from reaching across the aisle. I shouldn't say that. The Republicans and the Democrats are perfectly fine reaching across the aisle. They're not only reaching across the aisle, they are reaching across the aisle and fondling each other. It's just that they're on the same exact page, and they will demonize. The Republicans are doing it, and the Democrats will do it. They will demonize anybody that steps out of line with the parties. Now, as bad as it has been, amazingly enough, lately, we seem to be finding areas where we all agree. There are things that are happening in America. For instance, the VA scandal. The VA scandal, Americans agree. This is horrific. That we need to plant our flag in some places where we know we're on the right side. Let's start planting our flags where we can have some victory. And that's one of them. The VA scandal. Let's start reaching across to people in our neighborhood, people, our friends, people who vote differently than us on things like the VA scandal. There's tons of blame to go around. The president campaigned in 2008 on the VA, saying that it was completely out of control. Now, it's much worse now. That's
okay, yada, 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 yada. So anyhow, he goes on and he says that the progressives are right. Well, what about the people like me and you out there that were totally against this invasion of Iraq in the first place? But I do agree there's some areas of agreement between people who have consistently hated each other. There's no doubt about that. All we have to do is convince them stop all aid to Israel. In fact, stop all aid to everybody outside this country or outside your state. See that at least five American men who admitted have shot their pieces off since 2010. Yeah, let's check this out here. Yeah. This may be a little anti-gun, but it's true. At least 5 American men have shot off their penises since 2010. I keep hearing about these responsible gun owners who are so very careful with their dangerous weapons, so I can only conclude that the guy did it on purpose. The man in Macon, Georgia accidentally shot himself in the penis while attempting to holster his gun last week. According to WMAZ Channel 13, the man was parked at a gas station and was attempting to put away the .45 caliber pistol when a discharge struck him in the groin. The man immediately drove to a friend's house. According to police, the victim dropped his pants to find that he had shot himself in the penis, that the bullet had exited his body through the buttocks. So as he disrobed and the spent round fell to the floor. There you go. That's a reason you should carry your .45 behind your back and your belt, not on your hip. I know for a fact, and I've been around enough guys that were really into guns, that a lot of people who have guns handle them very unsafely and probably shouldn't have a gun at all. 2 or 3 of the comments on that story. This is one of those times where guns work. They have eliminated this gun owner from the ability to breed. This is a win. The next one says, odds are good he has already polluted the gene pool. The next one is, a man in Macon, Georgia accidentally shot himself in the penis while attempting to holster his gun last week. As long as they're not shooting the peen eye of anyone else, I'm all for it. Let's see. Next comment. It was coming right at him. Way to stand your ground. The next one. We've got another one who pulled a gun out of his ass and started shooting at police. Maybe Dickless and Ass Man can get together through some sort of Wayne LaPierre dating service. They clearly deserve each other. Next one. I want this to happen to Wayne LaPierre. Next one. Darwinian principles in action. Hopefully he hasn't procreated yet. Next one. He's just a bet. He'll just bet a bigger gun to compensate for the missing penis. Or he'll get a bigger gun. Next one. No man or woman should be interested in sexually dealing with something that could blow their heads off. Next one. Who are these men and why are they so mad at their penises? Justifiable shooting if I ever seen one. Anyhow, there's another one. Are we sure he's trying to put his gun away? Could it be he was fondling his weapon and it discharged with such shocking force that his gun went off? Guns don't kill penises. Dicks do. Yep, it's all about windage and elevation, boys. Constant practice is the only way to hone such fine marksmanship. Also consider the courage such shot takes. You will likely hit a femoral artery if you miss and bleed out for Gordie Howe and country. Next one was, I'm hoping this happens to Ann Coulter soon. That's a funny one. That is a funny one, man. Okay, that's about it of that. Hey, you guys ever want to know where Yiddish came from? Well, there are several hundred thousand Yiddish speakers today, perhaps even 500,000, but the shtetls of Ukraine and Lithuania, where Yiddish was woven into the fabric of everyday life, have faded into dust. Yiddish was born in about the 10th century, that's interesting, and thus rounded out an even millennium before being pulled under by the tide of history. you want to know not just what Yiddish is, but where it came from, how it managed to survive and even flourish, you can do no better than a new edition of Max Weinrich's History of the Yiddish Language. But be sure to read the footnotes. They extend for over 750 pages. Are now published in English for the first time in the New Yale edition, and contain the most interesting and controversial part of what had seemed till now a fairly straightforward and unchallenged historical narrative. There you go. You want to read 750 pages? Be my guest. Well, there's an article in the Rolling Stones this month, or maybe this week, how the wing nuts took over Texas. Well, the main wing nut is the governor. Sure is. I'll see here. Rick Perry, the Texas governor and Republican presidential hopeful, is known for his staunch support of Israel. His approval of the 2011 legislation that codified the right for a Texas home to display a mezuzah up to 24 inches long inspired a massive Rick Perry mezuzah that sells for $999. Now Perry has taken things a few steps further, sitting down with the town author Mark Leibovich at a Los Angeles deli and telling him he's more Jewish than the Jewish politics reporter might expect. Now there you go. Here's how Leibovich's New York Times Magazine profile of Perry begins. "Boys, I'm going to bless this meal," Rick Perry said, ducking his head and folding his hands under his chin. "We were sitting at Nathan Al, the Jewish deli in Beverly Hills. The governor of Texas was looking every bit the regular customer in a tight black polo shirt, designer glasses. His face was nicely tanned, his hair as ever was coiffured and TV ready. He had just ordered a corned beef Reuben I worked out this morning and a diet Dr. Pepper. You got those critters?" he asked the waiter. But before diving in, Perry took a moment to appreciate his surroundings. Quote, "I'm more Jewish than you think," he told me. "I read part of the Bible that said the Jews are God's chosen people," unquote. He boasted that he has been going to Israel since 1992. Then Perry got down to business, thanking the Lord for his many blessings and asking him to be with our men and women who defend our freedom, bring them home safely, be with the president, give him wisdom. Well, let's see here. What else here we got to say about that? Hold it. Well, I guess we'll have to wait on the rest of that because that article ran out. I guess he wants you to buy the article in, I don't know, what the hell did he say, Time Magazine or something. Anyhow, it's a typical Christian politician asshole kissing the ass of the Jews and trying to be more Jewish than Jews. And I'm convinced that a good share of these Christians are more Jew than Jews. So there you go. That's why the article in Rolling Stone says how the wingnuts took over Texas. Boy, that Texas wingnut article is about 8 or 9 pages long, man. That's a long one. I'll have to read it later. Obviously, any of the good points in Texas are insulting and making look bad, but the ignorance and the ignoramuses of the regular right wing, I can agree. Anyhow, I'll read the article and get back to you. I guess that Governor Perry has gotten together with that, what's his name, that preacher down there? Hagee. These guys, like I said, are far more Jewish than the Jews I've met. Think they're more Jewish than Herb Reuben used to be. Well, I see they've arrested another octogenarian, German, Johann Breyer. U.S. authorities have arrested Johann Breyer, an 89-year-old suspected former guard at Auschwitz and Buchenwald, currently living in Philadelphia. The New York Times reports, suspected of being a camp guard, the arrest is part of a renewed German effort. Hey, get that. Renewed German efforts to identify and arrest former Nazi guards, both of whom are now in their 80s and 90s, an acknowledgement that time is very quickly running out to hold those responsible for Nazi crimes accountable in the court. Germany is attempting to have Breyer extradited to Germany where he could face trial. You see, they go to the bottom, a camp guard. What control, what power did a camp guard have? They're still very rich fucking Germans living in Germany that were up to their ears in the industrial National Socialist Nazi combination in Germany. Why aren't they ever arresting one of these old bankers that were involved in loaning money out and all that kind of stuff? You never hear of it, do you? Johann Breyer, a retired toolmaker born in Czechoslovakia, is the oldest person ever accused of ties to the Third Reich by the United States authorities, who for decades have hunted for Nazis who escaped to America after the war. Mr. Breyer is accused of joining the Waffen-SS at age 17 and working as a guard at the concentration camps at Auschwitz and Buchenwald, where he was told to go. He was assigned and given an order to go there. Officials say newly discovered evidence, color the kosher, has strengthened their case, you know. 50 or 60 year old evidence. If you went into court on a case in most places in the United States with 60-year-old so-called evidence, they'd laugh you out of court. War era records, where did they come from? Who supplied them? Indicate that he was at Auschwitz earlier in the war than he acknowledged, and that he served as a guard in a particularly notorious subcamp known as Birkenau or Auschwitz II, which was used exclusively to kill prisoners. U.S. Justice Department attempts to deport Breyer back in 1992, but the effort was thwarted by the fact that he was born in the U.S. Still, while this attempt to get Breyer out of the country has a better probability of success, the likelihood that the 89-year-old will stand trial in Germany remains low. In March, a German court declared 94-year-old Hans Lipschitz, a suspected former Auschwitz guard, unfit for trial, citing his worsening dementia. Lipschitz was charged with 10,500 counts of accessory murder. This is why you should never let a country hornswoggle you into fighting their wars. Because this, all this kind of stuff has happened over and over again. You know, genocide is nothing new. So, if they get you in there as a military man and they tell you to go guard this camp, and then people start being killed in the camp, and then you're going to pay the price. Fuck it. Don't march off to war for any government. If you want to go to war, go for yourself. Take care of your own problem. Germany is throwing these people to the wolves just to make themselves look better in the public eye. Especially the eye of Israel. It's sickening. Sickening. One of these days they're going to start arresting old taxicab drivers that might have picked up German officers and drove them around Berlin. And then, let's see, where do we go from there? German cooks who might have served food in a restaurant to a Nazi officer or something. Oh, they'll never quit. The only time they're going to quit is when you say, no fucking more. Or else. Well, let's close out with a rant from that rogue progressive about what's going on in the Middle East.
Regarding Iraq, an email from Michael in Roswell, he writes, why am I not surprised? Michael writes, excuse me, all of this should have been anticipated from the moment the Bush administration didn't come down hard on our Saudi allies, quote, quote, for 9/11, and then pursued the de-bathification of Iraq. It was like opening the door for fundamentalist groups once we were gone. And note, importantly, we couldn't have left if we hadn't invaded in the first place. And if I were only slightly more cynical than I am already, I'd say it's an ongoing chapter in the shock doctrine, wherein the foreign policy establishment of the United States, the Saudis, and the oil companies are all working together to take advantage of the chaos. The Iraq War turned out pretty much the opposite of the way the foreign policy hawks wanted. The Shiite government that came to power didn't completely bend over to the oil companies and has been buddy-buddy with the Iranian mullahs. And since the Saudis are running out of light sweet crude and would love to have a compliant Wahhabi wacko government in Iraq that owes them for all the arms and petrodollars that have made an overthrow possible, and the Saudi royals are about as paranoid of the Iranians as the U.S. was of the Soviet Union, so no surprise on that account either. But of course, there were going to be second and third acts to this play. And isn't that correct? Isn't that the truth? I mean, seriously, once the Bush crime family got active in this war crime against Iraq, I mean, how perceptive did you have to be to understand that this was going to happen? When you go into a country that has been run, yes, by a dictator, how long was Saddam in there? A number of decades. I forget the exact number of years. But he was a dictator we supported. A dictator we supported. Just like the dictator in Iran that we supported. Just like the dictators in Central America. The dictator in the Philippines. The dictator in Vietnam. Just pick a country, for Christ's sake. The dictator we supported through all these years, in this case, Iraq. And when we then go in and totally scramble the situation, overthrow, and eventually have that dictator executed, as we have so many times. We did it in Vietnam. We did it in Iraq. I mean, go right down the list of the dictators that have served their purpose to the United States, and then we had overthrown, or we went in to overthrow because we wanted a new dictator, or the dictator needed help, so we go in, we completely destabilize the country, completely throw it into chaos, and what happens to all those groups that were suppressed for all those decades? Where do they go? Do you think they disappear? No. They wait. And they wait. And they educate their children to wait. And the children grow up, and they educate their children to wait. Until finally the moment is right. And then the explosion occurs. And all that suppression and oppression that went on first under Saddam, then under the United States, finally explodes. And this is what we have. This is what we have. So the situation in Iraq, the entire situation, and I frankly, even though I realize that these foreign policy experts are probably a lot smarter than I am, I don't give a rat's ass what they say, because I'm not a stupid person. And I can see, I've been watching this movie in real time as it was going on. We talked about this 10 years ago, that this eventually was going to happen. Not that I'm prescient, no. But I know I'm not, like I said last night, I watched the movie called Vietnam. Almost had to participate in it as an extra. I would have been a dead extra. So here we are. And the people that are, that this ISIS or ISIL, however you want to say their name, that are taking over Iraq,
And I would expect that Baghdad will fall within the next 4 or 5 days, and Maliki is going to wind up on the end of a rope unless he gets out, just the way Saddam ended up on the end of a rope. It's going to happen. There's no way to stop what's going on in Iraq as it has occurred over the past week. With this insurgent army, when you have 9,000 soldiers take on the Iraqi military of 55,000 that we trained, quote-quote, and the 55,000 are decimated, the ones that don't cut and run, and how much, I mean, what does that tell you? What happened in Vietnam? We had 500,000 troops in Vietnam, and we had our asses kicked by a dedicated cadre of revolutionaries who said, no, we kicked China's ass, we kicked Japan's ass, we kicked France's ass, and we're going to kick yours. And they did. And these people are driven by religious fanaticism, the ones in Iraq. You think the United States ever had a chance to stabilize that country or take it over on a permanent basis or even a short-term basis? But you know what? The Republicans in Congress and probably a few Democrats are already on their hind legs howling about Obama pulled out too soon. Jesus H. Christ. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, let's call it ISIS then, has taken over a number of Iraqi cities in just 48 hours. I mean, this is like Hitler going into Poland. Pow! And the name they gave it was Blitzkrieg. And that's what's happening in Iraq. Who's going to stop it? Nobody. The Saudis, you notice how quiet they are? Because the insurgents are the religious, the invading, of whatever you want to call it, the terrorists. Is Kerry still calling them terrorists? You want terrorists, John Kerry? Look at the freaks in this country if you want terrorists. But the people that are taking over Iraq are Sunnis. They're religious fundamentalists. Saudi Arabia is run by Sunnis. They're religious fundamentalists. I swear. I mean, what must it feel like for a soldier who left part of his body in Iraq because he was lied to in the first place? He was lied to by his government. He was lied to by the military recruiter. He was probably lied to by his family when they supported his joining the military. Oh, yeah, go defend freedom. And he went, and I'm going to use a male pronoun. He went, and he his Humvee that was not armored up, because George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, who pushed us into this war, did not pay for it. It still hasn't been paid for. $1 trillion goddamn dollars. These are your responsible, fiscally responsible, pro-military Republicans. Oh, hog crap. So that soldier went over there, and his under-armored Humvee hit an IED. Kabow! He loses both legs. And now he's back in some crummy, stinking VA hospital now, trying to be rehabilitated, and he watches television, and he sees the Humvees and the military, the Bradley fighting vehicles, and the equipment that he was using now in the hands of these so-called insurgents. Son of a bitch. So somebody tell me, what was it for? We know what it was for. It was for the multinational capitalists who don't give a goddamn about dead soldiers or Americans with their legs blown off, and sure as hell don't care about dead Iraqis or dead Syrians or refugees by the hundreds of thousands. They don't care, and they never will. So my question to you, Truth Seeker, how much more of this are we going to accept? What's going to happen when the next American leader starts beating the war drums and tells us about all the bad things that are happening in Vietnam or Iraq or Iran or wherever it is? Huh? How many more times is this going to happen? How many more times are we going to encourage our young people to go join this murderous capitalist war machine? To go destroy everything? Jesus God.
Your appetite for destruction can't be easy to defend. When all your heroes have abandoned you, or have you abandoned them? From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all of them.